Over the last 6 years, our agency has sent well over 1 million outreach emails for link building purposes and has meticulously tracked every response, every placed link, and the corresponding traffic results for each of those placed links. This video is the State of the SERPs Link Building Edition. Let's get into it. The screenshot that you're looking at is our agency's outreach tracking file. This is what we use to manage our outreach campaigns for link building and PR purposes. Every single outreach email that we sent and every single live link that we've gotten placed is tracked by the date, by the client, the domain that it went live on, the traffic metrics, the domain authority, and then also the linking destination on the client's website, and then also the anchor text. My business partner, David Krebit, is an automation expert. What he did is he took this file and he tied it to SEMrush's API. What that allowed us to do was snapshot the keyword rankings of every single page on our client's website before we started building links, and then over a 12-month period to see how that page progressed with their keyword rankings. As I said, this video is the State of the SERPs, the Link Building Edition. What I'm going to talk about is what we learned through this analysis, the direct findings of our analysis, what's changed over the years, and what's the current state of link building. But most importantly, how can we succeed in link building right now? What are the different paths and strategies that we can take, specifically if we're working with clients, to continuously to get high quality links at scale that the algorithm will respond favorably to and reward us with more organic traffic? Because at the end of the day, who cares about links? It's all about getting more organic traffic. That's why we do it. We try not to forget that. And that's what I want to keep at the forefront of this discussion. Let's start off by talking about what we learned from this analysis. First and foremost, links do correlate positively with more organic traffic. The data from our analysis showed that the links that we built to our clients' target pages increased keyword rankings over a 6 to 12 month period about 77% of the time. That's a lot higher than I thought it was going to be actually. So I'm confident in saying that the links that we built did positively correlate with those pages going up in keyword rankings. However, the amount of traffic did vary. We believe that's because there's so many other factors to consider in SEO, including competitors and what other people are doing in the SERPs, that we can't necessarily pin down links as the exact cause. Because you got to keep in mind too, we were doing link building while we were doing SEO, while we were changing the page titles, improving the body text, just making overall improvements to the pages. However, I can tell you this confidently, having not only done this case study, but doing this for 10 years, is that links are still critically important. It's just not enough to do the on-page SEO activities. We still need to promote them. And links are still the best way to promote pages with the goal of getting more organic traffic to those pages. So what we've also found over the years is that links are still important, but that but is key here, just not as important. Our data showed that the pages that we built links to that did not follow proper on-page, that we did not do SEO to, didn't really respond as well and did not move up as well in the rankings as the other pages that we were heavily focused on doing SEO for. And I've seen this before too, again, just going back to when I first started in SEO, like you could build a WordPress website, put up some crap content, and then just build links to it and it would shoot up. It's not like that anymore. SEO really is an entire process that you have to take into account for, and links are just not the answer to every SEO problem anymore. A lot of the times when we get leads into our agency, companies will self-diagnose links as the problem. They'll be like, we did our keyword research. You know, we built awesome product pages, but we think we need links because it's not moving up. It's a much deeper process of audience understanding, UX, searcher satisfaction, and matching that topical trust. Links really serve as a means to support these items, and links will work if you've done these other elements beforehand. So they really go hand in hand. It's not an if or anymore. You need to do both. And it's really important that you look outside of the traditional SEO elements too that we've just been kind of conditioned with over time and really focus on that searcher satisfaction and making sure that all your pages are not just matching keywords, but they're really delivering on that intent behind that keyword and that the front-facing design, the messaging, everything matches to that as well. Then links will help you out quite a bit. Another big finding is that there's no new hacks or new tactics. The game is the same. I think we've been conditioned as SEOs that there's always been a new hack or new tactic popping up around the corner, but it's just not the case anymore. There is nothing new. The core concepts of link building and outreach still remain true today. It's about good strategy, prospecting for relevant quality websites, and then sending the right pitch. There's no new types of links that are being created. It really comes down to that and being able to master that process if you want to generate high quality links. With that being said, there are some nuances in how that process has changed and how that process is received by the people on the other end of those email pitches as well. So let's talk about what has changed in link building over the years. From Google's point of view, bad links are just ignored algorithmically. I've seen this quite a bit when doing link audits for clients that have a spammy link profile, that they're not getting penalized, they're just getting ignored. You know, they've worked with some bad link vendors or some people that were sending them some DMs on LinkedIn, selling links to them, and they were garbage, and they've been buying them over and over and over again. And what's happened is they're not getting penalized, they're just getting ignored. And honestly, this is worse than getting penalized, because a penalty is fixable, but if you're just continuously spending time, resources, and money for something that's not working, you're really hurting your business quite a bit. And this has been supported by Google a number of times. In a recent Webmasters Hangout, John Mueller stated, "On the one hand, we manually try to take action where we think it's necessary. On the other hand, algorithmically, we try and ignore things that we can kind of isolate." Basically, what he's saying is that the algorithm, if there's some egregious spam or some intentional spam, you'll get penalized for it. But honestly, you can just disavow those links and move on. But what he's referring to is that if you're just doing crap link building tactics, or if you're picking up crap links, the algorithm is smart enough to ignore those things. It's really not that complicated. If you yourself as a person can look at a website and be like, oh, this is a bad link, you don't think the most intelligent algorithm that humankind has ever seen can't do that as well? It's very easy. And there's a lot of patterns that they can pick up on that we've given to them over the years that make this very easy to do so. Segueing into what else has changed is that, man, so much of outreach has just become pay to play. There's very few free links out there anymore. As I said, we've sent over a million outreach emails over the years, and we track them all meticulously. And one of the things that we've seen a huge shift in is responses from folks who are asking for some sort of monetary request in exchange for a link placement. That usually goes something like this. We send a really good pitch that, we put together a piece of content even, and we're sending to them saying, hey, I see you've been talking about, you know, this type of stuff. We've got something that's a little bit better than that. Would you like to feature it in your article? And the response is yes, but. And that but always has some sort of monetary reply. Yes, but we have a sponsorship fee. Yes, but we have a placement fee. Yes, but you're going to have to pay me for my time to do that. And I say this all the time, marketers ruin everything. We basically turned outreach into a spammed out tactic. And PBN owners also have gotten smart too. This is not just legitimate websites, right? I mean, you can contact Huffington Post or a writer who writes for Forbes, and they'll be like, yeah, I'll feature you, but you got to pay me $1,000 for my time. Or you got to pay me $1,000 to write the article as a feature for you, whatever it may be. But it's also just that a lot of the web has gotten really smart, and PBM owners have gone away from the PBN tactic, and they've just made them a little bit more of a real website that are monetized through link building tactics, through guest posting, through sponsored posts. So they're putting a little bit more time and effort into making the website look legit, but the underlying core of it is that it's still a PBN. And we see this a lot now with guest posting too. A lot of guest posts even have an expense fee attached to it. And a lot of these websites, again, they look great. They've got good content, but they got a big old write for us in the top level navigation. And they're just monetizing that because we as outreach folks are searching for write for us pages. And then we're coming right to them. So as opposed to them, PBN people kind of having to go behind the scenes, they got a little bit smarter. They put that write for us page up, and now we're funneling right to them. And if you think about it this way too, if you are a blogger or an Instagrammer or a YouTuber, how do you make your money? You make your money off of sponsorship. So a lot of them have gotten smart too, because again, marketers have just ruined everything. We've just been berating people with outreach emails over the years. And they're like, yes, fine. I'll put you on my website, but you're gonna have to pay me to do so, right? Like, I make my money as a blogger through sponsorships and through brand partnerships. So how is it any different for us to just pay them for a placement on their website, right? It happens all the time on Instagram, happens all the time on YouTube. Brands are just going directly to them. Honestly, it's against FTC guidelines, which is against the law, but somehow us as like SEOs, I've gotten this in our head that like it's illegal to do link buying. It's not, it's frowned upon. What people are doing on Instagram is illegal. I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole about how like we as SEOs look at link buyers as unethical and black hat and just shun them from the community. Yet we praise brands who are going right to Instagram and just literally berating people with crap and berating people with garbage that they don't need anymore illegally, and forcing kids to see this stuff too. It's just consumer has been its finest. But anyways, we can't really blame bloggers for doing this too, because That's how they make money, and there's no money in AdSense. And there's good money in link placements. It's easy money for them to just be like, yeah, it's $500 for me to go ahead and take 2 seconds of my time to insert a link to your post here. And I just kind of jumped the gun on this, but isn't buying links bad? I had a little vent session there because it kind of bothers me as us as an SEO community about how we shun some of our own for doing stuff that honestly it works and it's not illegal, and who gives a shit what Google says anyways, but it's just kind of funny. So yes, buying links isn't necessarily bad, but it is frowned upon. And again, it's all about your ethics and the clients that you're working with for how you'd want to support that, but that's neither here nor there. So, but basically where we're at now is that there's a new PBN in town, and it's the guest post. You know, guest posts have become the go-to link for a lot of us for when it comes to outreach, because it's easy and it's really scalable and it's cheap and it's effective. They work. But they've gotten spammed out. And, you know, John Mueller has also addressed this too. He said, essentially, even if the link is within the guest post, it should be no follow. Even if it's a natural link that you're adding there. For what it's worth, none of this is new, and I'm not aware of any plans to ramp up manual review of this. We can catch most of these algorithmic anyways. That's what I said. You know, a lot of these websites have a big old right for us on their top level navigation. It's super easy for Google to just discredit those websites. So again, what we're doing as SEOs and as outreach and link builders is that we're building a lot of links through guest posting, thinking that they're working, spending so much time and resources and effort building these links, and Google's just like, no, it's a guest post. We know that. It's easy to spot. And this is a quote from a couple months ago, too. I've actually seen this come up quite a bit on a lot of top websites talking about how guest posts are just simply ignored. So it's something that we have to be cognizant of. I'm not saying don't guest post, but definitely you want to be filtering out anyone that's just egregiously accepting guest posts, especially the ones that are just like SEO guest posts that are, again, like kind of the new PBNs that are just really guest post websites that we are going to them and making their life so easily, and we're paying them. It's crazy. So I kind of already jumped the gun on this too. I said PBN owners have gotten smart. They're making their sites look real. They're adding right for us pages. They might not call themselves a PBN, but they are. At the end of the day, again, it's not about the ethics of whether you're buying links or PBN or guest posts. It's about the results that happen in organic traffic. And if Google's ignoring them, it doesn't matter if you call it a PBN, a call spam link, call it unethical, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't work. So we've got to be cognizant of that, and we've got to take the next step to move past this. So the way that we're combating this is we're no longer looking for sites, you know, like search operators like Right For Us. It's too easy for Google to pick up algorithmically. They've stated this a number of times. We're also seeing this in the data. If you're just hammering a website with guest posts, if you're not cringing just at the fact that you're not putting the website in the best position to succeed, potentially also a penalty, it just doesn't work anymore. So if we do work with a guest post, it has to pass our evaluation metrics. I actually just filmed an entire training on how we do our evaluation metrics, but we'll talk a little bit more about that later. So really important, how can we succeed in this new normal of what link building has become? So we really want to be mindful of both target website quality and relevance. So SEO metrics, DA, trust flow, citation flow, domain rating can be easily manipulated and reanimated easily. Just looking at those metrics isn't enough. Like, yo, it's super easy for someone to just go buy a domain, pump it full of links, or buy a domain that had links but was dropped, which Google can see. Again, post a new theme on top of it, post some new content on top of that. Then they've got a DA40 website that you know, they're charging $300 a link for. Looking at those metrics is not enough. We actually have to look at the front face of the website and do a manual evaluation process as a part of our prospecting process. In this manual evaluation process, honestly, it's more important than the SEO metrics. You should be spending more time looking at this than that. And a perfect example of this is, again, it's 2020, almost 2021. And when we're talking about where a blogger is spending their time, it's no longer a priority for them to have a website. They're on Instagram, they're on YouTube, because that's where they're getting paid, that's where they're getting reach. They don't have to worry about anything else. It's a lot easier to post content there and build a following and monetize that than having a blog. So blogs right now are secondary to social, meaning if we're just looking at traditional SEO metrics like DA and DR, then these real actual blogger websites are going to have very low authority because it's not a priority for them. They're not picking up links. They're not really doing anything. They're focused on social, and maybe they're publishing on the back end of their blog. So what happens is if we're only looking at SEO metrics and there's a DA5 website from a travel blogger who writes really good content, you know, is active on social media, has a million followers on social media, but doesn't necessarily reflect that on their blog, that will get filtered out by a lot of these traditional SEO metrics. And then we're stuck again with these garbage websites that were just reanimated or juiced up to look like they have high metrics, but they're really not. So this manual evaluation process is really, really important. So we're asking questions like, is this a real website? What's its purpose? Is this a business? Is it a blog? Or is this an expired domain that was picked up and reanimated? Are there clearly paid SEO placements in their content? This is very easy to look for. If all their content is the same length, if all their content has two internal links, two external links, one of which is going to a Wikipedia article, basic shit, and then a couple, like maybe one stock image, it's not for you, dude. It's a PBN. It's not a real website. So we want to be looking for this too. And then on top of that, is the website topically focused? Does their top level navigation make sense? Is it one about cars, one about health, one about money, finance, marketing? Like, that's not really what a real website is going to look like. They should be topically focused, really in one space ideally, or just kind of like, you know, similar spaces that naturally fit together. Are the articles relevant? Are they well written? Do they read well? Are the external links in the article relevant? So for example, if you have one article that's linking to an attorney's website, another one is linking to a Bitcoin website, it's a fake website, you don't want to work with it. The article should be relevant, there should be an author, and you as an SEO should know when you see an article if it's an SEO article that was paid for, we don't want to work with them. And I realize that this cuts down on the inventory, but that's what it is. We definitely want to be focusing more on quality. And if that means paying more and spending more resources to get on real websites and cutting our inventory, so be it. That's what we want to focus on going forward. This is also really important too. It's not just about the website that we're looking at. It's also about our website and making sure that we're matching the pages that we're linking to on our website based on the intent of where we're being linked to. So for example, when we looked at our case study, we saw that different page types were reacting differently when links were built. So we used to hammer like bottom funnel pages. And I actually had a consulting call yesterday where this kid told me that somebody at a very big tech company, an SEO tech company, told him that he should be building all of his links to his bottom funnel service pages. It doesn't make sense. Like, why would a service page get a link? Like, why would a product page get a link? They don't, unless they're paid for or unless it's a product review. Links that Google has clearly come out and said, we know that these are fake links, stop doing it. If we can sniff them out, then Google can too. So we have to be very mindful that what types of pages will naturally get links. And again, I know that this means that this is more work for us, but this is what we have to be mindful of. So when we're building our links, we really want to try and match link type to content type. So for example, if you're selling shoelaces, like, who would link to your product pages? Very few would organically. Again, it might be like a blogger doing a review or like a roundup post talking about the 10 best types of shoelaces. So when we're building links on these websites, we want to try and make sure that the content that they're writing about on their website is going to match that intent of what a natural link would look like. So a product review, like I just said, but be very careful. Google's warned against this a couple times. The best of listicles, so like the best Christmas gifts for men, top 10 shoelaces for Jordan sneakers, etc. And our data from our study reflected this, that product pages did not react overly well to direct links. Only the types that I just previously listed, but what reacted really well and really favorably was content. So like in-depth articles, and that makes sense too, right? Because again, when we talk about what a link serves as on the internet, it's basically a citation, right? Like when you're writing a high school paper, you used citations to cite a source of something that wasn't yours. So, you know, it's very rare that somebody would cite a product page for something that's not theirs. They're going to be citing a piece of information that they saw somewhere else. So just from what we've seen, that content reacts really well to links. They rank better. They also drive more traffic to the keywords, usually bigger, which also means that content, you know, you've heard this before, but it does play a role in link building, not just for like as a piece of link bait, but also as a link destination. And again, I know that this means more work for us. I know that that means that you're not going to be getting direct traffic to your product pages, but we have to take an extra step and go the long way to do it right to make sure that we're safe and we're getting results. There's nothing wrong with ranking a blog post that has a lot of traffic volume and then using internal links to path to product pages. And I'm also not telling you not to build links to product pages. I'm just saying don't hammer them only and be mindful of Google understanding what is a natural link placement. So we've got to think just much more critically and strategically if we want to stay one step ahead of the algorithm. It's not just about the quality of the SEO metric of the website. We also want to make sure that it's topically focused. We want to make sure that the article that they write or that's we're getting a link from is relevant to where we're linking to on our website. And we also want to make sure that we're spreading these links around on our website. Don't just hammer your bottom funnel pages, spread it around a mid and top funnel as well, and strategically use internal links to pass that equity and also path visitors to our other pages. So where does this leave us now? As an agency, our focus has shifted. Links are a necessity for SEO. There's no debating that. There's no way around it. However, trying to get unpaid links for an entire portfolio of clients, it's not just difficult, it's impossible. I don't care what that outreach agency is telling you. There's going to be some greasing of the wheels. And I always liken this to PR. If you've ever done PR, PR is like they're just paying people. That's all they're doing. They're building relationships with people and they're paying them. But yet PR is looked at as like the truest of the white hat. And of course, link building is looked at as like some dirty little savages, scrounging for the scraps. So what I'm trying to convince you of too is that if you're uncomfortable paying for links, that's fine. You know, you were taught right, but you got to break that a little bit, because if you want to be successful, again, you're not doing anything wrong. You're not breaking any laws. You're not going against FTC guidelines. I don't care what Google's PR team tells you. They might not work as well, but that's why we have to be smarter. And we've got to just be a little bit more strategic with how we're going to pay for a link. So again, I'm not telling you to go out and pay somebody straight up for a link, but if a PR person is paying for coverage, then why can't you pay for coverage? Why can't you pay for a sponsored advertising package that includes an article or a native post, as they call it, and includes a blast to their email list? Like, what's the distinction, right? I just want you to think a little bit differently about this, because I'm telling you right now, especially if you're working with clients, it's really, really, really hard, unless you're building a massive piece of content and doing like a little bit more of like a PR style outreach where you're pitching reporters and journalists, that's fine. The majority of SEO links aren't going to come from that. So you've just got to be a little bit more open-minded when you think about paying for links in the story that you're telling yourself. So currently for us, we rely pretty heavily on our agency for link vendors. And when I say a link vendor, again, I don't mean that dude who's like, hello, sir, like I have high quality links on, like, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a company who specifically does link building. And the reason why we rely on them is because what they're basically doing for us, and dude, I've been doing outreach for 10 years. I've had a link building training for the last 5 years that's literally laid the groundwork for how to do outreach for link building, true white hat outreach. But going through that again and seeing how much time we're spending on link prospecting, how much time we're spending on link outreach, how much time we're spending on negotiation, only for a large majority of our opportunities to come back as paid opportunities, like we're spinning our wheels and operationally we're killing ourselves, and we're only increasing the price of that link for the client because we're adding more of our hours into that cost per link. So we got smart and we adapted. We now start partnering up with different link vendors and marketplaces who are gonna do the prospecting for us because they have a database, right? They've got a database full of links where we give them our input, we tell them the niche, and then we can go through and cherry pick the links that we want. Again, what this allows us to do is not have to do as much prospecting and spend as much time only to arrive at the same place. Like if you're doing prospecting and another company's doing prospecting, you really think you're getting different opportunities? You're not. At the end of the day, we're all working off of the same internet here. And it's very rare that you're finding an opportunity, maybe not finding an opportunity, but getting live on an opportunity that somebody else hasn't found yet, right? Think about that for a second. So the inventory was turning out to be the same that we were doing too. When we were doing prospecting, we look at our database versus some of the other people out there that have a database, it was pretty much the same. So why would we keep spending time and resources to do something that somebody else is already doing and they're willing to give to us for free for us to pick from that list? So 70% of our links basically come from that. It's really lowered our cost per link. We're also maintaining quality again by going through that evaluation process. We actually have a full checklist for evaluation that we give out in the blueprint for how to look at not only SEO metrics, but that topical evaluation that I talked about. We've got a checklist and we do use that on our vendors to make sure that the sites that we're getting on are real. They have traffic, they have engagement, real authors, but it's just a lot less work for us to do so. So the other 30% of our links do come from outreach. We're doing guest posting, we're working with influencers, sponsored posts, again, some form of paid, because that's just the internet that we live on. Nothing is really free anymore. So again, some of you might be uncomfortable by this. That's okay. Again, I'm not pushing you to do something that you're uncomfortable doing that you feel is unethical. Like I said, I just want you to understand what's going on, because I've been doing this for a very long time now. And I can tell you firsthand that this is what it is. So we either adapt to stay ahead of the curve or we don't, and we stop getting results for our clients and we're out of business. So to boil this all down, there's really two options and nothing else. There's true organic outreach where you find, contact, and negotiate the placements on a website for clients unpaid, right? And like I said, the way that if you're going to do true organic outreach, what you're going to have to do is build some sort of content asset, meaning like an infographic or a video or a data study. Data works really well, or a story about somebody on the client side who's done really amazing things. You take that story and then you pitch that to people who might be interested in writing about it. That's really the only way to get true unpaid coverage. That's it. But the level of effort to do that is immense. And it's less about the outreach, and it's so much more about the creative process, about coming up with that right piece of content or that right pitch that's going to have people be interested. And it's also a lot harder too, because you have to convince them to create a new piece of content around what you're sending to them. And you've got to get a lot of people to do that too, because you spend so much time on that piece of content. You basically got to get it syndicated, and you've got to get it picked up by a bunch of different bloggers and journalists in order for that to be worth the time. And of course, you got to charge client quite a bit for this. So when it comes to enterprise link building, that's what they're going to be more comfortable with. But again, that's a very expensive and very time consuming process. But that's number one. So we're looking at things like resource pages, broken link building, promotional exchanges, podcast placements, and new article placements, or like what I like to call PR. So I really like resource pages, especially in the software space. There's always listicles that are like, again, like 10 best pieces of software for like outreach, stuff like that. Broken link building, I wouldn't recommend anymore. It's way too much work, doesn't return enough. Promotional exchanges are cool. Again, that could be something like, hey, I'll send an email to my list promoting the article. A promotional exchange is something like, if you feature me in the article, I'll send to my email list or tweet it out. Podcast placements are pretty straightforward. And then PR is just what I just spoke about. So your function is going to be more of a PR agency than link building. Like I said, the only way to make this work economically is if you're going to be charging like $1,000 and up for each placement. And that's fine. There's a ton of companies out there that do that very well. And the reason why you have to charge that much is because operationally, this is not something that you can outsource. This has to be done locally with creative strategists, thinkers, problem solvers, people who understand, you know, the media and what they're covering and all that different stuff. So it's just a very expensive process. But honestly, when it comes to the quality of links, you're just not going to find anything better. And this is where you can really explode a brand if you can do this right. So if you're a smaller agency, I don't recommend this if you haven't figured out the core offering of SEO yet. I always recommend to folks in the blueprint is if you want to do this style of outreach, you've got to figure out the actual SEO process first. Technical, keyword research, on-page, content strategy. Focus on getting that done right and getting your agency to a couple million in revenue, and then bringing this in-house, because this is a huge value add for, again, when we're talking about scaling, you're going to have to work with larger clients. You're going to have to charge more. This is a humongous value add to charge more, right? This is a $10,000 to $20,000 a month job just to do this. But you can't do this until you've done the other thing first. Or the other thing is to not do SEO and just focus on building a company around this, because you can build an agency specifically around this type of outreach. So that's my advice on when to use this versus when to not. And of course, the other opportunity is just going to be vendors and SEO links. The right vendor will do a lot of work for you. It's going to save you a ton of time and money. So things like guest posts, link insertion, sponsored posts. Most SEO clients and webmasters won't want to pay $1,000 per link. That's really only enterprise stuff. And again, you're going to have to position yourself more as a PR agency than a link building company. Just that small change will be like, oh, okay, 1,000 is nothing. But if it's like an SEO link, people are really more in like the $200 to $300 per link range. And they also should understand that like it's going to be a guest post or like a sponsor post or something like that. So as I said, the key to using this model is knowing how to cherry pick the right links from the inventory, because most of it's crap. Again, you got to know how to understand how to see a PBN versus not. And this can be managed completely by entry-level staff or offshore, and it still gets big results. Like I'm telling you right now, like our client portfolio right now is raging. And like I said, we're about at 70% right now using vendors to help us get the inventory up, because again, that allows us to then focus on the core part of SEO. Like at the end of the day, man, I don't give a shit about links. Like link building gets a lot of attention in this industry, which because it's important, I guess, I don't know, but like, yo, we're here to increase traffic and we're here to make people more money. Like, don't get caught up in the nuances and fighting with people on Facebook and Twitter about white hat, black hat, and paid and this and that. Like, who cares, man? Like, if you're still stuck in that cycle, then you're never going to grow and scale past a certain point. You got to get past that. So us right now as an agency, we have really two offshore folks that are managing our entire link building, and we're extremely profitable on it, and we're building really good. We're building the same links that we were building before we were doing outreach. But we're just doing it a lot cheaper, we're doing it a lot faster, and we're doing it with so much less headaches. Like link building is not a problem for us anymore. If you're doing outreach, or if you're not doing outreach and you're figuring out how to get links is a very stressful situation. It's also going to determine really whether or not you're getting results for your clients. So what I have for you is, in the full blueprint is basically link building in a box. We have a massive training, how-to videos, templates, over-the-shoulder videos on how to do true outreach. So all that PR outreach that I was talking to you about, we have the trainings for that. I teach you how to do PR outreach. I teach you how to do resource page, broken link building, all that stuff. Templates, email pitches, step-by-step process, the exact roles and responsibilities that you need, the prospectors, the outreach managers, how much to pay them, where to find them, the job postings. I got all that for you. What I also have, which is brand new within the blueprint, is how to use vendors. So the same system that we're using at our agency, how to leverage third-party sources to do the heavy lifting while not sacrificing quality. I'm telling you, we're getting the same quality of links that we're getting using this process as we are doing outreach. But again, it's so much less work. It's amazing. And then, of course, how to build and manage links to the project management behind it, how to charge, how to sell, how to put this into a proposal and sell links to a client, which so many people don't know how to do. I've got all that stuff up for it there for you within the full blueprint. So it's important to note too, we do not offer individual modules anymore. If you want access to our link building training, you gotta get the whole blueprint. But within the whole blueprint, we're getting everything that you need. It's literally an SEO practice in a box. Every single tool, every single template, every single piece of automation, every single over-the-shoulder video, everything that you need to run a very high quality SEO campaign is in the blueprint training. All you got to do is go to theblueprint.training, sign up, and hopefully I'll see you guys in there. As always, if you have any questions, leave me some comments or hit me up in our free Slack channel. Peace out, guys.